bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble.
Again to Church 180. When we sing, we are able to transform words into emotions. And so when we sing, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, that's so much powerful than just speaking, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. And then collectively, when we come together, we're able to unify in that and just proclaim that Jesus is the hope that we can turn towards. So why don't you join us as we sing some more songs. weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Yes, my God will never fail. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, there's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. Oh, I'm not backing down from any giants. I know how this story ends. Oh, yes, I know how this story ends. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turned it for good. You turned it for good. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. The battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy turn it for good. You turn it for good. chasm that lay between us. How high the mountains I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me.
Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Let's sing that again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, and hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Broken every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope. Everybody go ahead and have a seat.
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? I hope good, because I'm feeling pretty good today. Although it's chilly, it kind of gets us moving a little bit more to stay warmed up, get closer to the people next to you and get a little warm. Thanks for being here today. I want to welcome you here. Is this your first time? Can you please raise your hand and let us know so we can... Awesome. Thank you so much for coming today. I remember when I was... Oh, hi. How are you? I know some of my friends here. I remember the first time I came, I was always welcomed very warmly. But first of all, I needed to figure out where I was. And I knew I was home. This is my home now. And Community Ocean View Hills has been a wonderful place to be. And it's a wonderful place to welcome everyone to because we really... feel the love in this room. A couple of things I wanted to remind you about. In a moment, we will be taking offering if you prepared one today. Go ahead and take it out. You can prepare it. There's a couple ways to give at Church 180, and that's through the card here, the envelope here, online at church180sd.com/give, or even mailing the envelope. Everything we do here at Church 180 and everything we do for the community inspires hope, and we're able to do these things through some of our offerings that we receive in order to inspire other people to really turn their life around, and this is just one of the ways that we do that. Amazing. Yay. As I said earlier, everything we do at Church 180 inspires hope, and it's fueled by the generosity of people here and also people who may not be here who are here in spirit with us. Also, as you came in, you received the connection card. Please fill it out so that we can keep connected with you and make sure we let you know of the things that we're doing in the community that do inspire hope, such as our blanket drive we did last week for our homeless students here in the San Ysidro School District, and you can participate with us as well if you fill this out. If you're new, you can take it to the connections table after service. You can get a cool gift that we provide. It's a way to say thanks for being here today, but also to connect with us. Please, it's really important that you write clearly too, because the first time I filled it out, my address ended up being 1280 Civic Pete Drive. And it's Riviera Point Street, so I have no idea how that happened. Make sure you fill this out clearly. I know it's hard sometimes on your lap, but we want to make sure we keep connected with you, and this is the way we do it. Please hang on to it till after service. In the Info Center, you'll be able to get this. So just a second, our welcome team's going to pass by with the communion buckets. I think they may have already, and get that the information from you and any offerings that you may have today. So thanks again. Welcome for being here. After service today, we will have a prayer at that corner over there. If you feel like you need prayer, you can write it here in our card as well, but also come over here. Bernie's showing us Bernie Vanna White is showing us the placard where we will all be praying together. So please feel free to join us if you feel you need some cheerful delight today and some hope. Thank you so much.
Bienvenidos familias de Church 180. Here's what you need to know this week. New to Church 180 is a special night in which our Pastor Tony and his beautiful wife Kelsey host a delicious dinner for new members. At this event, you will have an opportunity to learn about Church 180 and the heart, direction, and dreams for our church. Tony and Kelsey will be sharing their story and facilitating a conversation about the future. The next New to Church 180 is tonight at 7 p.m. Be sure to check New to Church 180 in your connections card if you wish to attend. Thank you so much for your participation in the Blanket Project for the San Ysidro School District. Together, we were able to make a huge impact. Check this out. Lastly, we're quickly planning some opportunities for you to join a Bible study group. We expect to launch 4 Bible study groups at the end of the month to meet for 4 weeks. This is a great way for you to jumpstart your relationship with Jesus through His Word. And also, this is a great way for you to meet, mingle, and make new friends. Stay Stay tuned next week as we reveal meeting times and locations for these groups. We genuinely are glad that you're here, and we hope that you have an incredible morning.
Before we get going this morning, I just want to say, I'm going to try to hold your guys' attention sitting in a stool as much as possible, because if you're new to this whole thing and everything, I talked about hurting my toe last week in the before service began, and actually what happened was I was an idiot, and ended up, this TV case right here came tumbling down, and I tried to save it, and I had a good rug burn on my arm. Now it's like bruised, and I try to like keep it from tipping over. I failed miserably because it weighs a few hundred pounds, and it got the tip into my toe, and ended up finding out last week in the evening that it's not doing good. But it'll heal, and it was broken. It'll heal and it'll recover in the next month. So I'm going to try my best to sit in this stool. I can still kind of move around and be a little bit mobile. And I don't know, I don't do good sitting down for very long. So this is hard. Pray for me. I started getting grumpy yesterday and the day before. And Kelsey's like, hey, what's coming out? And I'm like, I need to exercise. I'm grumpy. Anyway, you don't need to know that. What you do need to know, though, is this. We got, you know, a few more people in to help beef up our setup teardown team, and this morning we had a ton of us right here at a little bit after 8, and so many people like just accomplishing everything that you see that's set up around here. Well, I'm just like wheeling around a little scooter, like kind of giving orders, and I guess my point is this, okay? The thing I'm trying to say is this, is that we're week 3. This is week 3 of this church. And this is a good, healthy reminder for me, and this is a good, healthy reminder for all of us that this church isn't about me. It's never going to be about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about his community coming together to bring him glory, to worship him, and to point towards him. And that's what it will always be about, and it's just a great reminder. And I felt like I needed to just get that off my chest from the get-go this morning as we continue on in week 3 of this series. I want to point out a couple more things to you before we launch in, because I don't think we had communicated with Raquel where the info table would be for after the service, if this is your first time or you want to turn in a connection card and everything like that. It's in this back left corner today. It's usually very clear in an info center out there, but rainy day today, so we're like, okay, let's make do. Let's figure this thing out. And so it'll be back there. The other thing I want to mention to you is that 10 minutes after the service today, stick around. Don't just go right home. Stick around 10 minutes after the service today. You saw the video with the baptism. We're going to have another baptism today as Jean Marie gives her life to Jesus and we baptize her. So that's really exciting. Okay, I want to say two things before I pray and we get going, okay? We're in this series called Turn Towards, okay? Turn Towards ... And what we've said from the get-go, and what I will say every week until we move on to a new series is this, is that this series is built on two ideas, okay? And the first one is this, is that we are all one turn away from hope. I believe that every single one of us is one turn away from hope. Whether that's a wholesale, I was going this direction and Jesus is over here and I'm completely turning and turning towards him with my life and giving my life to him. Or whether that be certain aspects and areas of our lives that we're running from him and that we need to take that area and turn back towards him for hope. And we've said that. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. The second thing is that turning towards anything, man, I'm having a hard time. I want to stand. And I will in a minute. Turning towards anything means turning away from something. Literally, you can't turn towards two opposing things at the same time. I mean, it's just common sense. And so we just want to recognize that up front and say that as we keep plowing through this series, We've said the first week, turn towards someone greater. Turn towards Jesus rather than someone lesser. And the second week, we said, turn towards becoming over and rather than turning towards escaping. And today, we're going to talk about this idea of turning towards a calling. But before we jump in, I want to pray for us to get going. So Jesus, we thank you that we have the opportunity to freely worship you in this room this morning. And I pray that we don't take that for granted, God. I pray that over these next few moments that God, that you just remove me out of the way and that you speak, Lord, that you open your word to us and that you, God, impress on our hearts and impress on our minds what you want to be communicated. God, we just put all of our hope and all of our trust in you in this moment. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I got to stand for this. So today, we're working through the book of Mark, if you've been with us. And we're working through the first chapter still, and we are actually only on verse 14, and it's our third week. That's all the further we've made it, and it's cool. But today, in verse 14, where we're going to open up Mark chapter 1, verse 14 in a minute, there's a point, there's like a line in the sand, because today what we're talking about is game day, okay? It's game day. I don't know if you've ever had a game day before, but as soon as I like started reading just some of the commentaries on this text and just, you know, what some scholars said, as soon as I started looking at it, it immediately brought back memories of high school to me. And there's one specific game day that I remember. It was in 2002, and it was our homecoming game for football against the Pawnee Indians. And I remember that day, so many different elements of it. I remember I had this buddy, his name's Matt, but I called him Huckleberry Finn because he was always into outdoor stuff, so he was my buddy Huck. And Huck, that day, had secured a Jeep Wrangler from his uncle. And he wasn't 16 yet, but I was, and he was like, okay, my uncle said you can drive the Jeep for the day. And so we took the top off, and I remember that morning putting on my game day jersey, because you wear your game day jersey to school. And then I don't know why. This is the stupidest thing in the world. I get it. But I wore a pair of overalls with one of them undone over my jersey and drove this Jeep around all day long. And I'm not recommending this. I think I skipped classes that day. We were just so amped because it was homecoming night. It was game day. And we weren't very good, but we won that game. We did. And I remember everything down to the first carry that I had that night. And it was just memorable because it was go time. It was game day. And what we're looking at in the text this morning, as we get into verse 14, what I want you to see is that it's game day. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Last week we covered, or 2 weeks ago, we covered the fact that this man named John the Baptist went before Jesus and he prepared the hearts and the minds of the people for the message of Jesus. He was what was called a forerunner. He was preparing them, paving the way. Last week we talked about Jesus' becoming time as he was baptized by John. He was affirmed by the Father, and he went into the wilderness for 40 days to become who he needed to become for the ministry and the road ahead. And today is the inauguration. Today is the beginning of his ministry. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 is where it starts, and it says this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. After John was put in prison. So what we see is once John is imprisoned for speaking this bold message, for talking about Jesus, for causing an uprising in the Roman Empire at the time, John was imprisoned. So while John's proclaiming his message, while John is preaching the kingdom of God, while John is paving the way for Jesus, Jesus could just bide his time because John's creating this ball of momentum. And John is preparing people, and this wave is being prepared for the message of Jesus, but now John's in prison. And because John's in prison, it's like, okay, we've got all this momentum, and it's time for Jesus to strike. And so we see in verse 15, it says this, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. I love that it just says, that Jesus just says right there in verse 15, he says, the time has come. He recognizes John's been put in prison, and he says, the time has come. Because like what I think a lot of us know in here is that timing is very critical, isn't it, about a lot of things. Immediately, I was thinking about this text and what Jesus said here, and I was thinking about the beginning of this church. Because the thing about, I don't know if you, what we call it is launching a church plant. I don't know if that language falls anywhere with you. But the reality is that this, what we're doing right now, is a long time in the process coming. It's not like we just like, oh, one day, like on the 26th of January, we're like, okay, it's the grand opening and everything just happens. Like, it's a long time coming. And so the organization that we work with that's kind of helped us put the pieces in place for the beginning and the establishment of this church, they help you time it out. And they say, hey, here's some steps to take. And there's a lot of work over the last year, specifically the last 9 months. And I remember we were just getting rolling, and we were like, okay, I think we can be ready by February. Maybe we'll launch on February 23rd, and we'll have our big grand opening on February 23rd. And I was like, that'll be memorable because that's my 35th birthday. And da-da-da-da-da. And so we kind of just said February 23rd, that's going to be our day. We can get everything done, all the necessary steps, and, you know, get ready, and on February 23rd is going to be the day. And then I remember, like, it was yesterday, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know, but I shared this a few weeks ago, but I remember I was working on some of the steps that we were, you know, preparing for this church, and Kelsey came storming into our bedroom, and I could tell that she wasn't happy, and she slapped a pregnancy test right on the desk in front of me to reveal that she was pregnant, and we were like, oh, no. Timing is critical. It's critical. And so now we had to go back to the drawing board with, you know, a group of the leadership of this church and be like, well, what are we going to do? Because timing matters. The moment to strike matters. The moment to let everything begin, it matters. And I hope we made a good decision with January 26th. I think we did. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, is that timing matters and the time has come. And what we see out of Jesus right there in verse 14, or in verse 15, it says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. And so we covered this, I think, 2 weeks ago, where we talked about this idea of good news. And it's literally, it could be swapped out and used for the word that we say as gospel, which gospel just sounds like some kind of big churchy, or it's not really a big word, but it just sounds like a really churchy word. And you're like, I don't know what gospel means. Well, gospel just means good news. And literally, this wasn't a religious term that Jesus would use. He'd say, repent and believe the good news. And all that meant, it was a political term that meant history or life-shaping news. That believe this history-making, believe this life-shaping, believe this incredible, will alter, not leave you the same, change you good news. And he says, repent and believe this good news. And so what we start to see, and what I want to kind of unpack, and you kind of have this in your note sheet this morning, if you got a pen and you want to start to follow along, is that in the text that we're looking at, John starts to point out a few things that I believe are worth us noting. And worth us looking into and checking out. And the first thing is this, that we see right there in verse 15, is that the kingdom of God is arriving. The kingdom of God is arriving. Now, that sounds really churchy, and if you're new to this whole thing, you'd be like, I don't even know what that means, okay? Here's what that means. Here's what I mean by that, okay? The kingdom of God, if you're unsure of what the kingdom of God is, the kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God is anywhere that Jesus has his reign and rule in the world right now. Anywhere. It could be your life. It could be an area of your life. It could be this room right now. It could be anywhere that Jesus has his reign and rule is the kingdom of God. And what Jesus says is repent and believe the kingdom of God is arriving. It's coming near. And the other thing I want to point out about the kingdom of God is it's a now and not yet like kingdom. I was thinking it's like a now and later like kingdom. Anybody had a now and later in here? Anybody know what a now and later is? It really is. There only like 4 people who know what a now and later is. Okay, and they're not good. I don't like this. It's not a good candy. Sorry. I think if you've had a now and later, I kind of Googled it this week. I was like, why is it called a now and later? It's because it takes so long to get to the end of it. Like, it's like now and then later you're done with it. And that's actually not the point of now and laters. I Googled it this week, and it turns out it was, I guess, one of the first candies like Starburst or something like that where you could buy a pack and you'd have some now, and then you'd roll your pack up, and then you'd have some later. And the reality is that the kingdom of God is a now and later kingdom. And here's what I mean by that. The kingdom of God is arriving. Jesus was ushering it in with his message. And there are places all over this planet today, 2.7 billion people claim this, but there are places all over this planet today where Jesus has his reign and his rule in people's lives and in places. But what we learn from the scriptures is that someday Jesus will have his reign and rule over every person and everything. And so so what Jesus is announcing here is that the kingdom is arriving. It's arriving. And the king, like Jesus, is establishing his reign and rule in people's hearts and lives, you know, one by one by one. Like literally, like think about the initial day for some of these initial, like early Christians, that Peter got up and he's talked about Jesus and he talked about the message, and 3,000 people were like, yeah, I'm in, I'm in. And boom, in an instant, like the reign and rule of Jesus was arriving into people's hearts and lives and starting to take shape in the world and the planet that we live in. So that God's kingdom, it is arriving. But he also says, I want to mention this too real quick. Because Jesus then, he goes around for the next 3 years in his ministry. Like this is game day, this is the beginning. But he goes around for the next 3 years and he keeps explaining what the kingdom is like, what the kingdom of God's like. I put a few of them in your note sheet there, just a few of the ones that are in the book of Mark. There's actually a lot more in the book of Matthew, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. But I put a few from the book of Mark, and it's where Jesus would be teaching, and he'd have a group of people around, and he would say, hey guys, the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a mustard seed, that though it's the smallest seed that you could find, that when it starts to grow, it just kind of takes over everything. and all the birds can find a place. And Jesus explaining, he says the kingdom of God is like this. And you can check those out. Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 10 is where a few of those are like. And I would love for you to just check those out on your own time and explore those and explore the teachings of Jesus where he talks about the kingdom, what the kingdom is like. But one of the first things we realize is Jesus says the kingdom is coming near. But he also says this, repent and believe, because the kingdom is drawing near. And we've talked about these two specific things a little bit. We've talked about repent a lot here. And repent is like, I don't know, it's kind of this really churchy word. we talked about this even last week. All repent really means is what's on many of your guys' shirts, 180, 180. And repent, what repent actually means is I was going this way, and now I'm repenting and turning towards Jesus and the things that he has for me. But I love that the writer, that Mark, in this specific case, he doesn't talk about repenting without talking about believing. Okay, because what he's trying to seal in our minds is that these two things go together. You know, I was thinking about it this week, okay, and I was last Sunday night, and I was like, can you guys give me a cast? And they're like, why would you want a cast? It's so good that you don't have to have a cast. We don't cast toes and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you don't live with a 6'4" and 2-year-old. Okay, I'm not worried about me, I'm not worried about that, I am worried about my daughter stepping on my foot, and it only happened once this week, and I was only a little bit mad and grumpy. That's not true, I was actually really mad and grumpy. But here's the thing, because I believed that it would hurt very badly if someone stepped on my toe, it caused me to do something. It caused me to protect it. It caused me to think differently. It caused me to, like, you know, do this thing a lot and sit, you know, like, Kelsey, actually one of my girls actually swiped it with her hand. And I was like, what are you doing? Kelsey's like, well, you stuck it in the middle of the room. And I'm like, well, I kept it off the floor so they wouldn't be stepped on. I was trying to protect it. And my point is that because I believed that it would hurt, I knew that it would hurt, it reinforced my actions. And I think the writer, Mark, is etching these two things in our mind that with a 180, with repentance comes belief. A belief that calls us into action. And I wrote it this way a couple times, but if you believe in something, it calls you to action. Whether that be a product or cause, a business, an ideology, a service, belief brings action. And in that day, Mark and Jesus alone was trying to get the people to repent from believing that some kind of social agenda or some kind of political agenda was going to save them. And he was trying to get them to turn like, no, the living God has come down as a human being, died, was buried, and rose from the dead again, and turn from all these other things that you trust in. Turn from all these other things that you believe in. Repent and turn towards that good news. And Mark's trying to etch that back in, which kind of brings me to the second thing that I want to talk about this morning from that. And this one I'm excited about. The kingdom of God has no dual citizens. The kingdom of God has no dual citizens. I was thinking about some of this this week. Should we wait for the F-18s? I was thinking about some of that this week, and I was thinking about my middle daughter. And my middle daughter, Jenny, she's our four-year-old, and our first daughter was born in New Zealand, but we were on a work visa at the time, so she was just what we were. And she got the same work visa with a lot of money, you know, shelled out, got the little work visa, stamping her U.S. passport. But my second daughter, Jenny, was born while we were on a resident visa. And since we were on a resident visa, she immediately, out of the womb, was granted dual citizenship, my four-year-old. And I remember we didn't think about passports or the whole thing. And but then we had a quick trip coming up where we needed to come back to the States for something. I can't remember. And we had a quick trip coming up. And we found out we could get a New Zealand passport in 10 days. And so we just put in for the New Zealand passport. So here it is. Got a nice little black passport with a silver fern leaf right here. And this is my my daughter Jenny's passport. She's the only one with one of these. This is her U.S. passport as well. She's got two of them. And we just, like to pay a lot of money for books. but she's got two of them. And I tell you this to tell you this, okay? And I've shared the full long story with some of you guys, and you'll get the full long story again at some point in life. But we were moving from New Zealand a little over 3 years ago now. We were moving from New Zealand. And we were going to stop in Australia on the way back and just take a week before we, decompress, before we hit the ground running back here in the States for work. And so we were taking a week, and I remember it was the third morning, and I grabbed my surfboard, and I was going to go out and grab a surf that morning. And Kelsey was like, hey, before you go, will you check on Jenny? And so I was like, okay, I'll go check on Jenny. So I went and looked in her little crib because she was only 8 months old at the time, or around 8 months, let's just say that. And so I check the crib, and there is baby vomit everywhere. And we've had issues with Jenny in the past with her bowels, and we knew that this wasn't, like, normal. It wasn't good, that we needed to get in right away. We'd sold all of our technology, all of our phones, everything. And so I remember picking up the little room thing, and I was like, all right, I got to find a cab. And I call the cab, and the cab comes, and I'm like, just close this hospital. And he takes us to this, like, backwoods, rural, nowheresville, Australian outback hospital, where we've got to now wait for the radiologist to come in, and it's like 5:30 a.m., and like, when does he get in? We're like, he gets in at 8:30, and we're like, well, I guess we'll just twiddle our thumbs for a while. And the radiologist comes in, and he takes one look at her belly, and he's like, oh, I know what it is, not that big a deal, but we need to have some child surgeons on hand, so we're going to actually need to call an ambulance and send you an hour and a half down to the nearest city, which is Brisbane, Australia. And so they started to order all those things, and we're waiting for the ambulance, and I remember they were like, okay, we need to get Laura. I don't know if her name was Laura. We're just going to call her Laura right now. And Laura from Revenue is going to come have a conversation with you about payment. And I remember I just looked at Kelsey and I said, honey, I don't know if it's going to matter, but when Laura from Revenue comes in, get out the New Zealand passport. And so Laura comes in and she's like all trepid and she's like, so I heard you guys are Americans. Da, da, da. Just wanted to talk through some pricing with you for a minute. And can I see a passport real quick? Kelsey's like, here you go. She's like, oh, thank God. Oh, wow. Oh, and she's like relieved, like this breath of fresh, like she's just like, whoo, you guys are good. Okay. And then she walks out and she's like, okay, it's taken care of. And I was like, oh. She's like, oh, yeah, we cover New Zealand citizens in emergency situation and vice versa. And we were like, no way. And we never saw another lady from Revenue ever again. I tell you that story to tell you this, because I'm trying to make a point here. I think that many of us in our faith and in our kingdom citizenship try to play the dual passport card a little bit, where we... You know, Sunday morning, this passport works. I'm going to get out this passport, and I'm going to come in and do the Jesus thing and, you know, ride the Jesus train and live for the kingdom of God and live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But then all of a sudden, you know, 8 a.m. on Monday morning comes, and it's like, well, I'm gonna go back to this citizenship for a second. And I think you get the point that I'm trying to make here. And the point that Jesus is trying to make, and the point that Mark is trying to make from this passage is that with the kingdom of God, when there is a belief, when there's a belief that causes a 180 and causes a turn, it doesn't mean that you get to live as a dual citizen anymore. It means that we trade one in and we live for the citizenship of the kingdom of God. I hope that makes sense. So repenting, it literally is a turning away from one kingdom and a turn towards becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God. And the thing that I want to spend the remaining time of our remaining bit of our time talking about is how living as a citizen of the kingdom comes with a calling. It comes with a calling. And that's kind of our last brick. Our next brick. We've said every single week, we're building this church on some foundations. And the cornerstone, the first brick is that we're building this church on the fact that Jesus is greater. And then last week, we said we're building this church on, this isn't the cornerstone, but we're building this church on the fact that we are becoming people. We're not escaping, but we are with Jesus, like allowing him to help us become something different. And today, that brick is calling. And that we're building this church on the fact that living as a citizen of the kingdom of God comes with a kingdom calling. And so I want to talk about that for a minute, but let's finish the text this morning as we do that. So verse 16, it says this, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. That's crazy, right? I mean, we read that, and it's just like crazy because, you know, there's a bunch of things going on in my mind. I think about the fact that, I don't know if anybody ever grew up going to, like, old school Sunday school. But I did. I went to old school Sunday school where they put a few of us boys in a class, and there's probably a couple of girls. I wasn't into girls at the time, so anyway. The point that I'm trying to make is this. I just remember, like, the flannel graph was up there, and there was always that super white Jesus, right? Like, and he was super white, and he had, like, the white, like, gown and the blue sash, and he was always, like, super skinny, And then, you know, and then it's like, okay, and then here's the fishermen. And they're like these big, burly, like bearded guys. And you know, and like it's almost like you needed to make the voice for Jesus. I don't know if you've seen those vintage 21 videos. You can YouTube that later. But it's like where Jesus is just like, come on, guys, let's get something, follow me. And y'all, the point that I'm trying to make is this. Is Jesus was a carpenter, okay? And the thing about carpentry in Jesus's, in Nazareth, where his, you know, his hometown, is that there wasn't a lot of wood around. So he might have fashioned some things with wood, and he might have, like, you know, done some things. And I've worked with wood a little bit and built houses and the whole thing. But there's a lot more stone around there than wood. And so there's a good chance that Jesus was a chiseler and that Jesus made things out of stone. And I mean, I've done concrete construction for a few summers. And I'll tell you what, like, concrete construction does not leave you wimpy with, like, frail, like, manicured, lotiony hands. It just doesn't do that. And so there's that thought in my mind, sorry, I diverge, that's going on with that. But then there's also the reality that this is a small town. I'm from a small town. This is a small town. This is a rural town. And you've got two family businesses offering. You got fishermen who fish for a living, and you've got carpentry and someone who makes things for a living. Small town that's going on, okay? And so, like, the reality is that these guys would have entered these professions because these professions would have been happening for centuries. And it's like, well, my granddaddy, or whatever, and everybody's done this for years, and in hard times, we just work a little bit harder, and in good times, I guess we could pick our foot off the gas, but these are family businesses that are happening, is what I'm trying to point out, and so there's a good chance, I'm not saying it happened, but there's a good chance that these fishermen went to Jesus and his family for chiseled goods, and that Jesus and his family went to these guys for dinner, and that they knew each other, and that they'd had a little bit of life experience, and that as John's starting to prepare the way in these first few verses, that whenever Jesus finally steps out on the scene, and whenever Jesus finally gives them the call, that it's like, oh yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, sorry, Dad, see ya. And they take off, and they go towards this kingdom calling. And I think about that, and this is our third point if you're following along and you're taking notes. And this is where we have that brick this morning, and it's the idea of turning towards a kingdom calling over a wandering. Turning towards a kingdom calling over wandering. And what we see from this text and what we see from this is that Jesus came along and he said, come on, guys, follow me. We got a job, we got a mission, it's game day, this is the inauguration, we're beginning the ministry, we're starting and we're going. And Jesus calls them to that. And I think that for us, when I look at the word calling and I look at the word wandering, for so many Christians, for so many people who put their faith and trust in Jesus, calling is one of those things where, I don't know, but you're like me and you're like, man, I wish I could have just been like a fisherman. And Jesus said, hey, come follow me. And I'm like, okay, I literally know what to do. Put one foot in front of the other and follow that guy, the human being, Jesus, who's going throughout. And then we get to, like, this day and age, and we're like, man, what does calling even look like for me? And I wrote down a few things, because it's, I think, you know, many Jesus followers, we stress about, what is God specifically calling me to do? I mean, do I work this job? Or do I work that one? Do I live in this town or do I live in that one? Do I live in this townhome community or do I live in that one? Do I give my kids these opportunities, have them go to this school, do these things, or do I do those things? And even to the point where we're like, man, do I go to this church or do I go to that church? Do I be a part of this group or do I be a part of that group? I mean, which friends should I have? I've only got 24 hours. And the reality is that calling can be something for you, and calling can be something for me that's a bit paralyzing. So, like, I wish I just had a physical Jesus to follow in that. But then when it comes to wandering, I think we get that, right? We understand wandering. Like, calling is like one of those things that kind of stresses us out. Like, what do I do? But wandering is something that we're all like, yeah, I know how to do that. And I wrote it this way. We have a couple slides. But wandering is what we do as a result of not knowing or living our calling. When we don't know what to do, we wander. But wandering is also, I believe, the result of trying to pick up both passports. And living with one passport on a Sunday and one passport on a Monday and one passport on a Wednesday and one passport on a Friday. And I think wandering is the result of trying to live as a dual citizen. So the question this morning that I have for us that we're kind of just narrowing into is, how do we turn towards calling over wandering? How do we turn towards the calling from the King Jesus over with our lives wandering? And it's not going to be on the screen, but I want to kind of let you guys in on something that it's so foundational to our church and what's going to be coming over the next few weeks and months and years. Because Mark chapter 1, verse 17, in the English Standard Version, okay, not that we read out of the NIV, which is this new international version of the Bible. And as many of you guys know, the Bible is, like, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And as I start to learn Spanish, or at least attempt and try, I got to learn because my girls are going to have conversations without me and exclude me from them. So I'm working on learning, and the thing that I keep understanding as I grapple with language is it's hard to convey something sometimes. And because in one language, it's hard to bring it over. But the more literal translation, which is the ESV, which we don't read out of because it's a little clunky and, like, hard to navigate, it says this. It says, I have it right here. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. So follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And for us in this church, that verse alone is going to be a verse that shapes us. It shaped me over the last decade as I've kind of learned from another church and another pastor, a guy named Jim Putman, who originated this concept of discipleship and following and developing as a Jesus follower. And it's kind of a three parts in that verse. It's the idea of, okay, I've done the 180, I've come and followed Jesus by doing the 180, and then as I follow him, he's making me into something different. I'm becoming, like we talked about last week. Okay, I've made the 180, and now he's causing me to become something different. And a lot, here's the deal, a lot of, I just got to be real with you real quick. A lot of people end right there. They end right there. They hear the call, and okay, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm going to have you get me into a small group, which we're going to have small groups in this church eventually. We're getting there. Jesus, I'm going to have you get me on a service team. I'm going to have you change a few things that I do on Monday morning. I'm going to have you do these things and this work in my life. But oftentimes, for the life of Jesus followers, we turn and we become something a little bit different, but we stop short of the kingdom calling that I think he's put on each and every single one of our lives, which is the last thing where he says, I'll make you become fishers of men. And literally, that's all that means, and we say it around here, and we're going to do a core value series coming up after this one, is we be people who inspire hope in others through Jesus. And so we have this idea of come and follow, which is like a head-level change, and I'll make you become, which is like a heart-level change. But the mission and the calling of the kingdom calling is that it actually affects the things that we do. And that it's a hand-level change where we begin to live our lives intentionally and different as citizens of the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to actually ask a couple more things to say. I'll have the band go ahead and come on up here right now. But I wanted to show you this slide real quick because I think that sometimes we think calling is so crazy, and I want to make it as simple as possible. And I want you to, if you're a drawer or a diagram person, or like, I'll try to leave a little notes, a little blank space in your note sheet. We have this diagram right up here, and I think your calling is super simple in life. I think your calling is where your passions, your abilities, and your sustenance intersect with God's purposes for your life. God's purposes is that you would become intentional. God's purposes is that you would follow him, he would make you become something different, and that something different that you become is someone who inspires hope and helps other people turn towards him and Jesus. And so that's his purposes, that's his mission, that's what he's after. And that wherever our passions, wherever our abilities, wherever our, I don't think it's like we make it so complicated, like which job should I work, which town should I live in, which path should I take, which group should I be in, which church should I be a part of. We make it so complicated, we get paralyzed, but I think it's as simple as wherever our passions, wherever our abilities, and however we can sustain ourselves and put food on the table and a roof over our head, however we can get that done, mixed with God's purposes, is our calling. And it is our kingdom calling. And we make it so hard sometimes, but I think it's that simple. I want to say a couple more things real quick. And we have a couple more slides, and this has just hit me right between the eyes this week. Because see, I think we get wandering, and we find calling to be hard. And the reality is that wandering seeks joy and things that bring temporary happiness. Calling finds joy in Jesus. See, wandering seeks joy in anything that's going to bring a moment of relief. Wandering seeks joy in anything that we think is going to look good for a moment. Wandering seeks joy in instant gratification. But calling finds joy in a risen Savior. And finds joy in Jesus. Wandering seek success in today's accomplishments. Calling finds success in Jesus' accomplishments. You see, it's been said before that every other single, like, world religion, everything, every other thing that you could put your faith in is based on what you can do to earn your way to God. But Christianity is what Jesus has done to buy you back and to give you a chance. Calling finds success in his accomplishments. This one just gets me. Wandering seeks meaning in a personal image, right? We live in an over Insta. Like, my wife has been showing me this Instagram account this week that is cracking me up, but showing the sad reality and state of the world we live in. And she's showing me, like, this, I don't know, Instagram influencers, like, fails or something like that. And people just doing the stupidest things to convey an image. And the account shows where things go wrong. But I think, man, how indicative of that is that of not only our culture, but what's inside of our hearts as we try to portray an image to the world around us. And I think that wandering will continue to make us chase after this perfect image that we can portray to the world around us. But calling, what calling does is it finds meaning in being conformed to his image. Into looking not like, literally, physically like Jesus, but learning to love the way that he loves, learning to treat people the way that he treats people, learning to hate the things that he hates, and being conformed to his image. Wandering seeks fulfillment and experiences. We live in the age, like with Instagram and everything about image, we live in the age of experiences. I read an article recently about how many people tried to climb Mount Everest, that there was a traffic jam in 2019, and so many people died, that Mount Everest is becoming this routine experience, because people are craving experiences for fulfillment. Put me in love, climb Mount Everest, it sounds like a blast. But wandering seeks fulfillment in those experiences, where calling finds fulfillment in living on mission, in his purposes, living out a kingdom calling. That's where calling finds fulfillment. And then the last one I'll say is, and I'm going to leave you with is this, wandering seeks hope in places that it doesn't call home. Wandering seeks hope in places it doesn't call home, because hope, we say turn toward hope around here. Hope lives in a kingdom calling. You will never, like, mark my words, you will never find more hope than when you're living on mission with Jesus. You will never find more hope than when you are living out your calling in life. because it supersedes everything else that could damage or destroy your hope. It's just like the ultimate card that you could play. So I'm going to pray for us, and as I pray for us this morning, we're also going to prepare for communion. And basically, in the back here, we've got some juice and some bread, and the juice is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was poured out, and the bread is symbolic of the body of Jesus that was broken, so that we could be citizens of the kingdom, so that we could have a calling, so that we could go into our Monday mornings, 8 a.m. tomorrow, so we can go into our jobs, and we could know that we live with a purpose, and that we have a calling, and that we are a citizen of one kingdom, His kingdom. And so this morning, I just want to invite you to take that communion. I want to invite you to celebrate with us. If you're unsure about the whole thing, that's cool. You can leave it and stay seated. But as we kind of go into this last song this morning and kind of close off this service, I want us to celebrate in this time of communion together. So Jesus, thank you for today. I pray, God, that you help this to be a celebratory time, that we could find purpose, fulfillment, and meaning in the calling that you've given us, God. And I pray that in this time of communion that we could just celebrate the death, the burial, God, and the resurrection, so that we could have this life, so we could have this calling, so we could have this hope. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So you can just go ahead and go down the middle aisles to the back.